Why do the wicked prosper and the godly suffer? Several books have been written about that in an attempt to explain it, and none have done a very good job because they don't use the Bible as their guide. We thank the Lord for Psalm 37, which answers this problem. So we ask the question, since the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, how shall we live? Would you look at Psalm 37 while I read the first 11 verses? Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, this is a psalm of David, and it's a little different style. It's more like Proverbs, making short, terse statements. And this psalm continues in the same vein of verses 1 through 11. The destiny of the godly and the destiny of the ungodly. Since the wicked prosper temporarily and the righteous suffer, how shall we live? What should be our perspective about this? Well, first of all, we should know and recognize God's decrees. And this psalm spells it out clearly. The wicked will be destroyed. God will take care of them. The righteous will be honored and blessed. Now that's the way God has arranged it. And that's what we are to know and to recognize and believe. This is what will happen. The wicked will be cut off, destroyed, punished. The godly will prosper eternally, be blessed and honored. So David begins immediately to say, fret not. Now we don't use that term very often, do we? Fret. Although it's in crossword puzzles at times. What is it? It's worry. Another word is stewing. You know, just getting into a thing and letting it consume you so that that's all you think about and it takes your life. Then he says, do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. Why? Because God will take care of them. And we are not to spend our time and energy trying to solve this problem. It is God's, and He will take care of it. So He tells us clearly His plan, His decree, to cut them off, to destroy them, and to honor the godly. So we recognize that. Now then, what is the present occupation for us? Where is our focus, and what should we be doing? Verse 3 begins with 8 things listed there for us. This is how we live. How then shall we live? This is how we live. This is where we put our energy and our thought and our prayer. And he begins in verse 3, trust in the Lord. What does that mean? That means don't try to take over. Don't try to play God and step in and think you can fix everything and that you're going to straighten everybody out. Trust in the Lord. And do good. That is, don't be tempted to become like they are. Don't fall into the trap of being like them. Just do good. It's an amazing thing. There's a statement about Jesus. It says, He went about doing good. Isn't that great? Then he says, dwell in the land. Just stay where God has put you and be content there with God's providence. And then he says, feed on His faithfulness. That is, be sustained by the truth of God's word. And then that marvelous verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now here's an exhortation, an instruction, and a direction in God's word. Delight yourself in the Lord. And the result. The result is that He will give you the desires of your heart, and we'll dwell on that some more. The next exhortation is to commit your life to the Lord. And there's a result. And He shall bring it to pass. He will take care of it. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. That is, don't give in to panic. Don't give in to the flesh. Wait for the Lord and He will take care of you. Now these are the things that are to occupy us. And when we do that, we don't fall in to the trap of fretting and envying. We are content with God's providence, and we're resting in Him, feeding on Him. There will never be one thing that brings suffering to God's people that God will not make right in eternity. Perfect justice will prevail. Not necessarily here, but eternally. God will never let you and me suffer one thing, but that He will make it right. He will never let a wicked, ungodly person get away with one thing. But that's the blindness of the unbelieving world. Living apart from God, living on their own, ignoring His call, and living dishonestly and immorally and in any other way, just blinking their eyes, thinking they're getting away. They're not. They are going to pay. There is payday someday. That's one of the most famous sermons ever preached on American soil. by Dr. Robert G. Lee, a Southern Baptist preacher. Payday someday, from Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God is going to make it right. And that's what David is reminding us of here in this psalm. Now, we've been given eight things as our attention and our focus and our way to live in this present world, which is filled with injustice and suffering. I thought it would be good for us this morning to dwell on one of them from verse 4, of delighting ourselves in the Lord. What a wonderful verse of Scripture and an opportunity for us to delight. Well, what is it to delight? Delight is great pleasure. Really wonderful. To delight is satisfaction. It is contentment. It's rejoicing. It's wonderful. A friend called and asked me if I wanted to play golf tomorrow. I said, I'd be delighted. It's wonderful. Now think of that, in delighting ourselves in the Lord. Is He wonderful? Is it rejoicing? Does it bring great pleasure to you to know Him and be with Him? Is it satisfying, and are you content with Him? That's what it means to delight. Now, He gives us not only what delight is, but the direction of it. The direction of our delight is in the Lord. And we always look for it in ourselves, or our circumstances, or in other things. It has to be in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, why can we do that? We can delight ourselves in the Lord because He is delightful. He really is. You just read about Him and watch Him and live with Him in the Gospels and in the New Testament letters. He is so refreshing. We're really dull people, actually. We are. He's so refreshing. He does things so unexpectedly and so, while He never changes yet, He's surprising. How will He handle the Pharisees? How will He handle the Sadducees? What will He do with Herod? He always breaks out of the box and does something so refreshing. And He is so faithful and so gracious and so powerful. How delightful is the Lord? The direction is in the Lord. Now, what about the experience of it, or the involvement? We know what it is. We know the direction. How do we get involved in this matter of delighting in the Lord? Well, it is absolutely impossible without exposure to His Word. Where is He? He is in His Word. Where are you? You are in your Word. Your Word is you. It's the expression of you. God's Word is the expression of Himself. When you are in the Bible truth, you are involved with Him. And it is through His Word that we delight in Him. And as we get into the Word of God, we worship Him. And we learn about humility. And we learn about resting and waiting on Him. So we delight in worship. And we meet together not because we have to, because it's a delight. What great truth in some of the hymns. I was delighting this morning as we sang, "He will take care of you." And I reviewed some things that I needed Him to take care of for me. Worship is delightful. A third thing that gets us involved in delighting in God is delighting in His people. The worst Christian we can think of is still our brother, is still our sister, is still in the family of God. God's people are wonderful. Through the years, I wouldn't trade experiences of knowing and being with God's people for anything. And I think of the years I miss them. I used to think, oh, those church people, they don't know how to live. They don't know how to have fun. They don't know what life is about. And then when I got with them, I found out how delightful Christian people are. How wonderful to be with people who love the Lord and love His Word and who are sincere and helpful and truthful. Delighting ourselves in the Lord comes through the Word of God, through worshiping, and through His people. Delighting in the Lord also comes in serving Him, which is something we don't have to do. We want to. And what a delight it is to serve. I think of a lady who was such a servant that it seemed like she spent her time trying to think of ways she could serve you. And almost offended if you didn't give her that opportunity. She just delighted in serving. That's in being involved in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and here is a result. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. That means you can ask anything you want, anytime you want, and God has to jump and do it for you. Well, that is the way most people interpret that verse. But it's wrong. What this means is that God will give you His desires so that you and I desire what He desires. Powerful promise. What a wonderful thing it is to have pure desires. The right motive to want. He gives that. And that's the result of delighting in Him. Well, Psalm 37 is a great truth that helps us understand life, tells us how to live now, and clearly gives us the great privilege of delighting. We couldn't leave here this morning without some confrontation with this passage, some evaluation of our life. as we ask ourselves, what is our delight this morning? To what do we look forward? What gives us joy and rejoicing? Along with what, it's who. In whom do we delight? Who is the center of our rejoicing? If it is not the Lord, could be a dangerous idolatry to let anyone else be the center of our delight. Now, it is not wrong to delight in others that God has given us, but they can't be first. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not only you can answer that, as I think about that for myself, but I want to be honest about it today with the Lord as I look at this passage. Trust, do good, dwell, feed, delight, commit, rest, and wait. That's where we live. With the focus on delighting ourselves in the Lord. Because He will never make a mistake with the ungodly or with the godly. He knows exactly what's going on in this world this morning, and He's going to take care of it. And whatever bothers us, He will take care of. God will take care of you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of this psalm and for the fact that it's true in our lives. We look forward to our eternal inheritance and the day when perfect justice will prevail, and that You will deal with the wicked and the ungodly and those who cause suffering and persecution upon Your people. Thank You that You have an eternal plan for us to be with You forever in the bliss of heaven and the joy and peace of rejoicing forever. Help us now, Lord, to take seriously the instructions in this psalm about how we are to live now, and above all, to give You honor, to exalt You, and hold You in high esteem and regard in our hearts as we delight ourselves in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.